Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. We're here with Aubrey, who's subbing in for Brian, and as not quite always, we're gonna have Aubrey start off with the market.
So the market, the fear and greed index, I believe, dropped from 14 to 10 despite some somewhat bullish news going on. What was I gonna say? So Bitcoin right now, it's trading at around 31K.
So we were looking at some of the key resistance levels where it was like, it seemed to bounce off of 28, 29.5. Like 30 is always like, you know, like a pretty important. We also have Ethereum at 1878. 18 seems like a key resistance. Like the eight, you know, like everybody who is leveraging up at maybe like 20 or 30,000 is basically, you know, that's like a bull trap. Where if you think that it's going to break 30 and go to 50, I don't think that that's maybe the move. Like, I mean, a lot of people, 31 though is above 30, like, and it's like a clear level. So I think that that's been established. But in terms of some of the other prices, Aubrey was looking up some of the other coins such as AVAX and
I was shocked. Well, overall, the altcoins as of Sunday night, whatever time it is, they were all trending up around 10%, which was weird how even the increase was. Like Chainlink was up around 10% at $8, roughly, maybe $9. AVAX was around 22, maybe 29. I don't know. It blew my mind.
Solana was down to like.
Yeah, but even Solana went up.
Solana was. And I mean, they had the
on
outage.
A day, and it's like $40.
Yeah. And I mean, we can get into it later, but we might as well address it where like.
Cardano 62.
Solana had been having some outages, and they're still one of like the largest. Yeah. But as Aubrey was explaining, I had gone to the Solana conference in Portugal, and there's a lot of money and there's a lot of apps. And apparently these
67
apps, it is a functioning chain to a certain extent. But this argument about the L1 chains and then like AVAX and Phantom and I guess Luna's out of it. It used to be Solunavax too. And AVAX is like, there's kind of some intricacies with the idea of like subnets on AVAX. And then also there's other chains that are trying to build themselves up. And this is all in the shadow of the merge.
Polygon
has
been making moves. They absorbed a lot of the Terra devs.
No, and they were talking. Never bet against Indians, especially when it comes to business and technology. The Matic team has, I mean, can you not say, Aubrey, that they are a scaling solution?
Illmatic, baby.
But like, they actually are making it way more scalable. The cost of minting NFTs on Matic is much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's NFTs on every chain now, which is kind of interesting. But everybody's looking at the OG Ethereum and the merge coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about the Matic NFTs. There's actually some big news today about some major video game influencer. I don't remember his name. He was talking about some project and how they aspire to have gamers own their actual items in the game, which is much more realistic on Polygon, where it's much cheaper and faster. And so, yeah, Polygon, it seems to be killing it in the gaming industry.
I'd had this discussion, too, where there's like a slow merging, and there's a slow merging of crypto with everything else. And the idea is that when actually retail, I mean, there's retail, but still it's actually a small segment of the population that in the world, you know, uses crypto. But when actually max adoption happens, you won't realize that you're using crypto, but you'll be using crypto. And so with video games, the way that blockchains work is that it's so energy intensive, it's going to make it very difficult to sustainably scale. And like, why would you not just use a centralized gaming company? And I mean, there's all sorts of discussions that I could discuss about decentralization of video games and finance and decentralization of everything. But at the end of the day, if you just want to play FIFA, it doesn't make sense to do it on the blockchain. It would be very time intent. I mean, it's like not even possible.
Own your custom kicks or something.
Yeah, and then having them as NFTs on blockchains, or the blurry thing is, I mean, aren't all of the skins that people have in Fortnite also NFTs?
Right.
But they don't own them, and then it's about ownership, and it's about digital items and ownership of digital items, which has, it's been going on for a long time. I've had this discussion with my friend. He was purchasing Diablo 2 weapons on Battle.net when we were in seventh grade. This must have been, you know, there's a World of Warcraft gold to dollars exchange value. And there are Korean people that play World of Warcraft all the time and sell their gold to people for real money. And what is real money anymore? It's all funny money. Oh, Monopoly money. Yeah.
Money isn't real, George. It's a fractional algorithmic stable coin that's over collateralized.
We were talking about memes, and I've been really bullish on ENS. And I have cryptomemes.eth, which I think, yeah, you know, hopefully sends my great-great-grandkids to college. Right. That's the dream. But there has been some heating up of ENS, but, like, I was curious as to what you think, like, the value of it will be towards dot-coms, and, like, is Ethereum going to survive these L1s? Because we talked about how there's Solunavax, but yeah, Solana, it's been going down. Luna, we don't even need to talk about it. AVAX has been getting hammered. I still love Phantom. It's like still a dark horse.
38 cents.
Yeah, I mean, I always love Phantom. I don't know. It was my first altcoin. I'm still up, which is like what not a lot of people can say about their altcoin purchases. Like, I bought it at 6 cents. It's still a 6x. But I used to be acting like I'm a genius when it was 50 times this. Yeah. So, not 50 times this, but 50 times my purchase. But, I mean, I had kind of given you a few questions there. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, and back to Phantom. Fun fact, that was actually my first token I bridged, and really my introduction to DeFi, and getting into Liquid Driver was pretty awesome. And Spooky Swap, which I remember seeing it like last year, and I was like, there's no way I'm using this. It's called Spooky Swap. This has to be a scam. But anyways, back to .ENS. First of all, that just sounds way cooler than .com, in my opinion. And, you know, just like opens up the market for all these awesome names. Speaking of which, Yeezus.ENS was...
No, .eth.
.eth.
Oh. So ENS is Ethereum naming service. Right. Maybe let's do like a background.
Trading at $12.
So what ENS is doing is that it is creating, instead of .com, it's .eth. But this address also has a private wallet. It also has configurable settings that can display your NFTs. It is basically, it's weird because we've harped about centralization, decentralization, and like, you know, digital identity, but what people are saying is that it will be your digital identity. People are buying up ENSs at a higher and higher rate. There is the 3-digit club. The floor, I believe, is at 8 Ethereum. It used to be at 16 Ethereum. That means that 3 digits of numbers. If you have an ENS that's 3 numbers in a row .eth, the floor is 8 Ethereum, which at 18,000, let's call it 2. That's $16,000 for these .ETHs. There have been sales in the last few days. There was an offer for 150 Ethereum for porn.eth that got rejected. I mean, this is big business. This is the, we're seeing that if porn.eth is going and getting diamond handed, I'm very familiar with it. There's a personal guy that I know about, Bhavin Turakia. He was a OG.com domain slanger, and he started several other businesses. I saw him at a business event in Mumbai. Look up the Turakia brothers.
How do you spell that?
Bhavin, and then Turakia is T-U-R-A.
Just ask Siri, man.
Well, they're billionaires now, and I thought that they were announcing Zeta. We went there to do boss, mentor, salesperson. We went there to try to drum up some sales leads and pick up some business cards. And they were all on those Scooty things. And then he was doing a startup, but it actually wasn't a startup. He was just trying to outcompete Sodexo. And at the same time, I was trying to sell Sodexo. And Sodexo was super old school, but it's part of several different other companies in India. And then I saw this guy just eat their lunch. And look at Zeta. It's a very successful SaaS company that just kind of did what somebody else was doing, but they did it better with technology. And so there is many such cases in Europe as well of people taking American or foreign country ideas and just starting your own app in your own language and just doing it better than other people. Mm-hmm. So I had respect for that guy. He and his brother, I believe, were trading hundreds of thousands of domains, and they were also doing hosting. So the people that traded domains with them also sometimes had their domains hosted by them. That's one of the businesses. And then they've gone on to start many, many businesses. I believe they're not twin brothers, but they're two of them. Mm. And I saw Bhavin. But with .eth, the value is that a .com does not have a private Ethereum wallet attached to it that can display your NFTs. The way that Twitter is now verifying people with their NFTs with the octagons through OpenSea. So now, slowly, the blockchain and Ethereum in particular is getting tied to these larger services. And the .eth names are ways that people can purchase, send coins in a decentralized manner. And so if this is your digital address, rather than say, hey, Aubrey, send me some Ethereum. I'm trying to mint some NFT. Okay. Here is my like 24-digit 0x7y9z. If you miss one thing, it's going to cost you in Ethereum transactions.
Owning to the Ether.
No. I own DanielProyce.eth. If you would like to donate to Crypto Sparta, send Ethereum to DanielProyce.eth. I own that ENS. It doubles as a wallet. We are looking to do web development. We have so many tasks. We have three web developers. In other news, eSparta Outsourcing has been hiring. Aubrey works on that with me, and the web development work has been coming in, and we're looking to figure out how to properly do ENS domains and do some Web3 minting sites. However, I mean, we're swamped. The personal team that we have is not able to do that. But back to ENSs, I think crypto memes, that kind of was what got me started as well. But also, I mean, your thoughts on ENSs, when I'll actually say this, there's also .soul. There's .phantom. Cool, yeah.
Ooh, .ghost, .phantom.
Well, all of these blockchains will have these wallets that will also have the functionality of being your personal profile that will display your NFTs. What will happen is that all the L1s will copy all the technology that will be done on each one. And then there might be the ZK rollups and the sharding.
The sharding.
I mean, this is what we're getting into the merge. Maybe let's just flow to the merge, make our little announcement about Smart Effect Labs and Swaggertooth, and then do some shills at the end.
Yeah, well, back to Yeezus.eth. Apparently, Yeezy purchased it for 5 ETH. He also has been filing trademarks for is NFTs, which I imagine will be an art series called Jesus Walks in the Metaverse, and it'll be depictions of Pete Davidson being tortured and dying miserably. So look out for that generative series coming soon.
You're here to hear first. Like, fake news. It's real. But
manifest it.
His NFTs will, I think, hold value because he's going to be innovative with NFTs as an artist. I think there's a lot of
music and fashion.
I'm just thinking shoes. I'm just thinking there's a lot of digital NFT shoes now, and the shoe heads go for that. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that what I've gotten in is that there's these people out there that are down bad. A lot of people in crypto are down bad. And a lot of these people are, I'm not going to say unintelligent, but like...
been terrible.
Yeah, well, they've been under unfortunate circumstances, but maybe they're not doing so well. But there is this steady supply of what is the next thing? I'm going to mint something. Every week when there's a new project, there will be people rolling the dice, picking their lottery tickets, going onto Discords and hanging out, and... this is not going away. The Goblin Towns NFTs, yeah, they pumped to 10. They dropped to 5. There's still fucking 5 ETH. And that was a free mint.
Urine involved in that or something?
Yeah, yeah. Pee-pee, poo-poo. And then they do a very clever way that I don't even know how you get tiny and little letters. And they make auga noises. The King of Goblin Town, so the rarest of the goblins, sold for, I believe, over $1 million. I mean... these PFP projects with varying rarities that build a community that hopes that they will be able to get in at the ground floor and it will be worth something in the future, these people are there every day of the week, even though people are down bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a simple, I've been trying to tell people, this will segue into Smartifact Labs and Swaggertooth. We are looking to... sounds like rough when I'm telling people that every week there's going to be people buying these, but this time it's different. However, I would say that this time it is different, where we are looking to build an NFT community that is going to be basically tied to a business that we're creating, which will be called Smartifact Labs.
Mm-hmm. Smartifact Labs, metaphysical artifacts.
So what we're doing is that I have a business partner, Gary Goldberger. And Gary is an expert in the collectibles and minerals field. And what we're looking to do is to create digital and metaphysical artifacts that are paired and also have provenance based off of the experts that are going to be able to verify this. And in this manner, we'll also be looking to do high quality photographs as well as 3D digital renderings. And so we've done this already with our initial launch project, which is Swaggertooth, which is basically a 3D image skull of a saber-toothed tiger. And what we're doing is creating a 8,888 or 10,000 profile picture project, similar to Bored Apes, CryptoPunks. And we are looking to have people in this community come, invest in us and our mission to be working with physical objects, recreating them, and then putting them in the metaverse, as well as working with the scientific community.
Mm-hmm. So Swaggertooth, yeah, we actually own a rare saber-tooth tiger skull.
Whoa.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghost, not phantom. That's a sign. Bullish. Anyway, yeah. Back to Swaggertooth. So yeah, we have the skull, we 3D scanned it, and we're doing the generative series, and essentially phase one of the whole Smartifact Labs vision begins with Swaggertooth and the skull, and sort of introducing this evolution of NFTs where they're tied to an actual physical object, rare collectible items like Sabertooth skulls, and we are actually donating the skull to the Science Museum, and we have lots of partners coming on, so it's very exciting. But the way we envision it is if you purchase one of our generative NFTs, gives you access to our community, which is building towards a metaverse museum full of these metaphysical artifacts. So every NFT will be tied to a real object that's highly valuable and rare.
And some of the things that we're looking to do is that with the relationship with the museum, we've been given permission to 3D scan these. So we have an expert. I'll just explain a little bit about Gary Goldberger, my partner. He has worked not only in the meat business, but also in the collectibles business. Aubrey has met him. He's been buying and selling minerals, fossils, collectibles. His specialty is the megalodon teeth.
Yeah.
So he has the most prized, he actually has the best megalodon teeth collection, which is a prehistoric shark.
And Aztec fertility.
Yeah. We actually worked on a website, and we have another friend, Ben Goldberger, who's advising on the project. He had done some 3D scans and some reproductions of the megalodon teeth. And so he's also advising on this. He's a Google engineer who's traveling, I believe, in Israel or Barcelona at the moment. We are looking to do similar things where we'll be reproducing the skull. And Kevin is a 3D photographer that also has a business with Gary. So he is also a business partner. So they have had their services hired by Bonhams, as well as Sotheby's. And through our connections, we have not only people that buy and sell things that are sold at auction that are collectibles and minerals and fossils, but we also have people that do the photography, as well as connections like Jordan, who we met the other day, who is a
amazing dude.
Self-described, mildly autistic, but incredibly smart and knowledgeable, who... He's a genius with rocks. He can explain to you exactly how the minerals and fossils have been formed, and also is an incredible photographer who has been advising us about the way that light makes it difficult for NFTs to be created properly of minerals and fossils.
Yeah, he's obsessed with perfection, capturing the beauty. The texture was the key for NFTs. He says that. Traditional NFTs have failed miserably in capturing the texture of these beautiful objects. And we actually have an interview with him coming out soon. And Gary's in that, and you'll get to see some of our collection, including our dragon skull and various rocks that are just really cool rocks.
But we also will have... the unboxing at the University of Minnesota will be creating the casting of the skulls. We will have reproductions of the saber-toothed tiger skull that has been 3D scanned and will be donated to the Science Museum of Minnesota for historical research in perpetuity. And so we're proud of the work we've done. We've also partnered with the Wildcat Sanctuary of Minnesota. And we are looking to have this basically bootstrap not only the business of Smartifact Labs, but the larger goal of creating a digital 3D library of physical items that will be either bought, sold, or donated to science.
Smartifact Labs, metaphysical artifacts, own the exhibit.
So, I think Smartifact Labs is the larger project, but in the short term, we're working on Swagger Tooth.
Got Tooth.
Hey, you better, yeah.
On that whitelist.
Yeah, we'll have a private whitelist for strategic partners. We also will be releasing a private investor deck, and we'll say that ahead of time to tease it. We're privately financed at the moment for the NFT project. However, the larger project of the metaverse auctions, as well as the sales and display of physical and metaphysical objects, we are looking for partners. We've discussed with some people in the physical collectibles world that are also looking to move to NFTs. We have several agencies that we work for, or that we work with as well, and we have the offshore team in Sparta Outsourcing. I mean, Aubrey, we'll move to the shills, but can the first shill be our own services and the company that we've been working together and building?
Yeah, for sure. East Sparta, we actually just had one of our top talents poached. We're sad to see her go. Congratulations, Manya.
We're very happy for Manya.
So yeah, I mean, it's a great jumping off point for young professionals trying to, you know, break into this Web3 space.
I would say that our company has grown and we now have some very good clients. And I think that the people that work for us in the way that we've grown is represented by Manya, where it's like really, I think she had put her blood, sweat, and tears in the Crypto Sparta brand. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a team or an agency that will be able to help you do social media for crypto, that's kind of the niche that we filled in, because mm-hmm. Crypto Sparta is a small piece of
it's like our media operation.
It's the front-facing thing that we do. However, Aubrey and I have been hiring more and more people for eSparta, or I like Esparta, but Esparta. Yeah, for Esparta legal reasons, we cannot piece. We're not using Sparta Outsourcing as a name anymore. And for, I think, the outsourcing company, the web development will be moving into the management of this NFT project, Swaggertooth. Mm-hmm. We'll be building a community and we'll be looking at doing events in perhaps ETH Denver or NFT NYC or NFT Miami. What we want to do is the three-phase approach that we'll also be releasing as part of our content calendar. Everything can be found in the Discord. We have a very strong...
careful on Discord.
Yeah, don't pull a Metaverse others. Don't click the links. Like, guys, please don't click the links.
Just don't click the links.
But I think we had discussed that. Let's just switch over to the shills, and then let's wrap it up.
Before we move on, we should list some of the clientele of eSparta that we've been working with.
Yeah, we've been very happy to work with Delta Exchange, FXDX, and I think that
EasyFi.
Yeah, there are other discussions coming forward, and I think that the client list will speak for itself when we have some case studies that we'll be releasing, and we've got some internal metrics. We might be doing a case study as well just on Crypto Sparta, and so you can look at the growth across Omnichannel on our YouTube. Views are up, though they're small, but across Instagram, Twitter, and different areas. You can count on our outsourcing company if you really want to discuss improving your social media brand.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, did we want to get into the ETH merge or like...
No, let's just hit the shills. I mean, we could touch on those real quick.
Well, so the ETH merge, the Ropstein.
It's the test network where it's like where if you're to play in a video game, you know how they do a beta where they do testing on a separate network where for only a few people. So the merge is going to start being tested.
Mm-hmm. On they said probably June 8th in typical ETH 2.0 fashion. Which could either be
mean like next year
obscurity, or maybe it's strategic because on June 7th is when that crypto legislation gets introduced.
Yeah, by Cynthia Lummis,
Republican out of Wyoming, and a bunch of Bitcoin maxis.
There's a lot of pressure coming at the midterms that
they're merging crypto with finance.
Yeah. No, and the discussions are that it needs to happen in America, and I think that the ruling party at the moment, the Democrats, are a bit nervous that the Republicans are trying to... There's a lot of leveraging going on, and Sam Bankman-Fried is a key player. I believe he donated how many billion last time? Or how many million? 600 million to Biden? Sam Bankman-Fried is taking over the world. And if you don't know who he is, he's going to own Earth.
He was hating on Bitcoin, though. Like, he was saying it's horrible as a global transaction network or something.
It's true.
Think of the Silk Road, though. Like, come on.
It's a global network. I mean, technologically, it's Litecoin, which then got forked into Dogecoin, like, is more energy efficient. So we can just cap Dogecoin and use that instead and waste way less energy. Like, Bitcoin does. And, I mean, this is the proof of work versus proof of stake discussion,
good things about the Lightning Network.
I've heard good things about the Lightning Network as well. I have. And that was what I was thinking, is that it'll be scaled and there will be some sort of like a... And anyways, giga computing, all of the processors are now doing crypto mining. So eventually there's an arms race until we get, into equilibrium where we have enough technological power that's going to power feeless transactions and everything will be tracked on a blockchain that everybody will have access to. I mean... Yeah.
But yeah, so the government is trying to centralize crypto, our wonderful decentralized world, essentially, which could be good or bad, pros and cons. There's something else I was going to say related to that, but I'm completely blanking. Oh, the merge. So back to the ETH 2.0 merge. So about 10% of total supply of Ethereum is currently staked in ETH 2.0. And I believe 30% of that is staked on Lido. So there's fears that they're centralizing the LSD market, liquid staking derivatives.
No, and then what I was telling Aubrey was that Celsius now is only open to accredited investors, and a lot of people pulled their ETH, but there's a lot of it that was staked, and a lot of it is either staked for like a year plus that like Celsius just made the move, or it's in ETH 2.0, which won't unstake until the merge and everything else happens. So what if Celsius is a liquid?
And yeah, well, so once ETH dipped below 2K, roughly 1%.
Now all of the collateral of everything has been...
Well, 1% moved to exchanges. Hopefully not Celsius, because, they are going to be insolvent, presumably.
I mean, or not. Well, who knows? Or somebody will bail them out, and then this is where...
That's what you get, Celsius, for taking away my rewards.
I think that the investors are buying blood low-key. I think that there's a lot of accumulation of big people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a global squeeze on the retail and the poorer person, and it's shown with credit cards going up. And I think we're going back to the macro that we didn't go through at the beginning that we normally do. But the macro, after we've discussed all these actual developments, the macro is still awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff in Russia, it looks like there's going to be food shortages. Inflation is rampant. Now they're going to start cutting. Yeah, onions? I know. What the fuck? I wanted onion rings somewhere. There's an onion shortage. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm.
Gas.
Yeah, and I mean, they're coming for your guns. They're coming for your private wallets.
Mm-hmm. Your MetaMask.
These are just facts, Trudeau's coming for guns. They already took the Australians' guns. They're probably going to lock down again once winter comes up and there's some COVID spikes. Like,
there's some type of meltdown in Australia recently. I just saw.
No, and then the egg farms getting hit.
70 billion loss
due to crypto. But let's not get too off track or conspiratorial. And I think that we should go to the shills.
So like, that was like a headline, like a news headline.
Yeah.
I saw it right before.
But let's go to the shills. Do you have shills?
I do. Illmatic.
Don't bet against Indians.
Don't bet against
Indians. It's a mistake. I bet on Indians. That's the move.
Well, I...
No,
I
disrespect it. I try to treat it like a basketball game or something.
I actually... my NFTs, I minted using Matic, and it was incredibly cheap, and it was awesome. So shout out to Matic. I would show Cardano, but I don't know, for some reason I've just like never liked Cardano. They're coming out with a algorithmic stable coin called like DJD or something soon. And, you know, when I hear algorithmic stablecoin, I have, you know,
PTSD. Nightmares.
Yeah. If you like to get pegged.
Aubrey, we can just hint at it, because I don't think it really might have set in for a lot of people or people that listen or watch that. I mean, the Luna UST impacted him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too upset about it, because I know there's like much worse cases.
There's a lot of suicides.
Yes, that was like the number one trending tweet was a suicide hotline. Anyway, super dark. But yeah, I mean, I still have, you know, my Bitcoin, my ETH, whatnot. But I was getting heavily into Luna, and actually across different chains, like AVAX. I was in a lot of AVAX, UST pairs, Phantom. I was in, it was UST, Luna, and Phantom. Yeah, so that was awesome, you know. And hey, I got some Luna 2 now. I got like 9, which is vested, so I can't even like do anything with it.
Really? You can't touch it?
And I had a bunch in Anchor. I had a bunch of UST in Anchor, but like, I don't know. I saw something about AUST holders were going to get something. But anyways, not shilling Luna ever. Ever again. Never again. Although, this did happen to ETH back in the day. And, you know, now we have ETH. But I think Luna, run away. But shills, yeah, Matic, Cardano with their stablecoin, and I don't know. I always hear such, like, wishy-washy things about Cardano and just, like, my personal...
It's a lot of FUD, and, like, actually the really smart person. And I've tried to explain to people that my opinion is from this really smart dude who had tried to learn Haskell, which is the programming language behind Cardano. It's supposed to be way more efficient, but it's still being built, and it's so fucking complicated, and it's probably not going to get mass adoption. But if they actually make it work, it'll be way more efficient. But it's all but. Like, you know, if it fits butts and we're candy and nuts, we'd have a merry fucking Christmas.
Right.
Cardano Six is apps. Still the dream in the future of, like, some super... And the guy that told me this was not some dumb Cardano guy. He was a guy that was on Cardano farming it at 2 cents. And he was like... This either could be the future or not, and he explained it to me very in depth, and I could not understand him.
Yeah,
and it's the complications with Haskell and the scaling or the creation of the language itself onto the blockchain is very, very, it's like some really NASA shit. So if you think that it's only for dumb people, Cardano is a very, very ambitious mission that people question if it will or will not succeed. But if you want a lottery ticket, if they figure it out, yeah, then Cardano could be it. That's like always, but that's what people say, is it's better to have nothing to show than like have something that doesn't work. And that's like Solana. I mean, there's 65 apps on it. And I mean, maybe they're working out the kinks. Maybe they're going to take over in the long term, but seems super centralized to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a bad,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like everything's going to die off once ETH 2.0. Except for Matic. And I used to love AVAX.
I'm going to shill, like, I'll make it corny, but then I'll tell my shill where it's like shilling, like, to touch grass, like, call and talk to people, like, don't get too into the charts or numbers at the moment, because I think everybody doesn't know where to go, but people do have some hope. But alts are still pretty risky, so my shill is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's like a safe, like, if everything goes up, Bitcoin is the first to go up, and then people rotate from Bitcoin. And so this is the, I'm going back to the basics.
Risk on and risk off.
Exactly. And so risk off, you go to fiat, or you go to less risk, or you go all the way to fucking gold or real estate if you have the opportunity. But then risk on, you go back to dollars, to the stock market, to Bitcoin, and then you go to altcoins and NFTs. So Bitcoin is like the
gold.
It's the, well, it's the first thing to move on the other side of the cycle. Mm-hmm. Everything goes down, dude, altcoins just hemorrhage horribly, and then Bitcoin drops less so. But then on the way back up, Bitcoin is first, and then people rotate expecting that the altcoins to bounce up. And then the altcoins are the riskier assets. So at the moment, it's not exactly time to go risk on. But if you're bullish, I would say Bitcoin.
Yeah, risk
and
off.
I mean, inflation, and I think that the way things are around the world overall, Bitcoin is kind of like, it seems like the Lightning Network is scaling, and it's getting incorporated more as like a payment method. So I would say that there's a lot of people that when enough people buy Bitcoin, the people have spoken, and we'll just say it because it's a classic. We're so early. Come on, we're so early. Mm-hmm. We're talking
4%
about we're talking about really in-depth crypto crap and getting coins on chain and swapping for DeFi. Man, most of the people don't have it, but what Michael Saylor had said was the tipping point will be when a couple things, and this was the news, we'll finally cover all the, Aubrey came with a lot of research and topics. We'll finally cover the last topic where if a couple companies start putting it on their balance sheet, like MicroStrategy and Tesla, and so the other news is,
ARK is bullish too.
Apple put some ETH on its balance sheet. So crypto will go up if these companies start purchasing it as normal assets to hold. And there's been a lot of regulatory red tape, but I think that the red tape is starting to come down. Let's see what happens with the Loomis bill. Let's mm-hmm. see what happens with the merge news. But
the merge.
Aubrey did a good...
Hold on. I would like to provide some non-financial advice during these tough times. As Daniel was saying, you know, there's risk on, risk off. So with your portfolio, you want to shift into store value, which I would consider Bitcoin and ETH, probably USDC. And
or nice memories to the ice cream shop. Like, literally, don't deprive yourself.
Yeah, so I've been DCAing Bitcoin and ETH. I've been so tempted just to, you know, grab AVAX and Matic and Phantom at 38 cents, but you know, I'm just gonna stick to my guns. Got my hardware wallet, got off Coinbase except for my YouTube.
Yeah, be safe. Celsius. Don't get hacked. Enjoy the summer, enjoy the nice times. I'm also bullish on ESADE NBA reunions. I'll be in Barcelona, and so we'll have more announcements coming from Smart Effect Labs and Swagger too. But I was just saying, it was a good sub in for Brian, and Aubrey might be a guest where we might be changing the format a bit to include more guests and more viewpoints. But also, Brian, enjoy. I think he's having maple syrup in Vermont. Yeah, went through Boston, had some crab. So shout out, Brian.
Chill maple on his behalf and Chainlink.
Yeah, maple syrup. Yeah, Vermont. Mm-hmm. But all right, thanks. That was another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. Thanks for listening, Nick and Smithy.
How do you? Thanks.